Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I just wouldn't. That wouldn't be on my list of things I would want. I think there wouldn't be a list.
I feel like something little would be all I'm looking for, but it's not like I'm gonna like rake the guy over the coals to get that baseball.
No, but like you're not doing this Malzy like Larry Fitzgerald after catching a touchdown where you just hand it to the usher and say make sure it gets to him in one piece.
I would like to at least meet him.
Yeah,
see, but like, then again, I'm coming from.
I've met him in like
a
professional
point.
Capacity, and so it just feels a little different. Like I don't need to go up there and like talk to him. Like if I had our boss Craig,
why not? Would be a nice
son,
little icebreaker. Hey,
our boss.
You've been
Craig's
on the air with us before.
Is hugely into baseball.
We know that for a fact.
If Lennox was at 6 years old, like a baseball maniac, and that's all he cared about, and it was Dad, can we throw the ball around whenever I got home? Okay. Then I would probably say, like, Lennox, you're going to say you caught this baseball and you're going to give it to Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be a huge pop for him.
But Malzy, think about this. You don't know, like, about Lennox and Ace when they're going to be in their teen years. Maybe by then they are big baseball
fans. But they
fans.
Wouldn't have had, they wouldn't have cared about the experience in the moment, which is what would matter
for
me.
Okay, but they could still say, hey, my dad caught the ball. And this is the bat in our basement or the jersey in our man cave that we got from it because he made the play on it. Come on now.
Well, I mean, they're gonna have something like that, except it's going to be, this is the time our dad almost caught a foul ball, but it went off his hands.
Yeah, that was
that
a bad,
shameful display.
That was a bad moment by you.
Yeah, well, life full of them. No, I don't know. You guys don't think it's weird at all that people like really want to get in front of their, like,
No, I do not think it's weird.
Okay. It feels like a little bit of an awkward little contrivance.
I mean, I think it's weird, like, if they push a super hard bargain for a ball like this and they demand, like, give me the bat that you hit the home run with Andrew. Like, I think that would be a stretch. But to just have a moment where you go down into, like, outside the clubhouse and you're like, hey, I wanted to, like, personally give this to you because... And then you take the time to say you've meant a lot to me as a Pirates fan or as a baseball fan. Can we get a picture together? Just something
that. The most I would do is say, I'll flip on the ball, say, hey, man, congratulations. Pretty cool.
I think the picture, like, you have it now for a lifetime. You have that moment. It's something you can look back on fondly.
I might be in the distinct. I probably am in the distinct minority here. I'm trying to give you my most honest answer without any malice here. It's just how I feel about it. And I don't want to sound like Cook. That's a separation here. I'm a journalist. He's an athlete.
You're putting out. Yeah, you are putting out.
I don't
want to
be.
You said
I have to talk about this guy. No. But Cook would do it in that super holier than thou way. Yet if it was Joe Namath, he'd ask him to sign an old bottle of Flexol 454.
If it was Ben Roethlisberger, he'd ask for the underwear that he was wearing. Milestone moment.
I don't mean it at all in like the look at me, I'm big and important too. I'm also a quasi, like people have know who I am in Pittsburgh. Not at all. It's just, I wouldn't want him to have to feel like, wow, okay, I've got to take a picture and do all this stuff.
But he sees it coming. It's not out of left field.
That doesn't mean he necessarily, knowing him, he probably is fine doing it. I feel like some of those guys are like, man, I wish I could just get the ball. It's the cost of doing business as a professional baseball player.
I was going to say, I feel like that's hardly a chore. If you get a monumental baseball to just take a picture that takes
funnier. Okay, I think a way funnier interaction like this is when a golfer like hits all a right. ball that maybe bounces and hits a guy's leg or something, and he's like, I'm going to sign a glove. Like, then I'd feel better about like saying to Justin Thomas or somebody, hey, man, can you work on having, you're fighting the lefts here. What's going on, dude? And just bust his chops a little
bit. So let me ask you the flip side of it then. How would you feel if a guy was like, you know what? I caught the ball. Mm-hmm. This is a one-of-one artifact. I'm going to keep it for myself. I don't even want any money for it. I just want this baseball.
I respect it plenty. If the ball matters to him and he's like, I want to have this. This is cool to me. Luck of the draw. Yeah. I think the dirtiest move here is to sell it for like a very modest amount of money.
Here's my issue with what you just said, though. I understand like baseball's had a tradition of this where balls that go into the crowd don't go back in like they do with basketball or football or things like that. But I would feel like as a human, like a piece of trash if I caught a ball like that and I'm like, yeah, I did nothing other than just stick my glove up in the air in a crowd of a few people. This dude actually did something like a lifetime achievement, and I'm like valuing what this ball means to me more than like what he did to like earn or like have the accomplishment himself.
I feel like you can defend, though, keeping the ball for no money because you might be like a super... Because I also think that that doesn't happen that often where somebody's like, I'm just keeping the ball.
I understand that. I didn't say that this is a like a universal thing or a ubiquitous
I guess
thing.
My,
I just asked you what
is,
your reaction would have been to it if someone cut it and said, you know what, I'm just going to keep it.
Most respect for just hand the guy the ball like back or just get the ball back to the person. Second most is... keep it for yourself because it matters to you, because even though you just got lucky to have the ball come into your possession, you think that that's really cool. Third, is, the worst thing, the bad thing is somebody's like, ah, how about for $1,500? And you're like, anything I can do for $1,500. Unless if that $1,500 is going to make the difference between like life and death for you, then you got to go do what you got to do. But I don't mind the person having like such strong feelings maybe about the player's impact that they actually want to keep it because it's a keepsake.
The Pirates just posted the picture of the guy with Kutch, and it looks great.
See?
Legendary.
Does he still look like a quasi Starkey and Cook?
And he looks thrilled, and you know what? Kutch does, too.
You know what? Probably because the guy made some like ridiculous Pittsburgh joke, and McCutcheon got it because he loves it here. I'm going to continue to be just a jackass about this. It's a great picture, but I'm just going to dig in.
What I expected you to say was...
Hold on, now they got a video of McCutcheon running to get the ball from the guy, too?
What I expected you to say was, these franchises are worth billions of dollars. The people that own them have deep pockets. The guy should catch the baseball and demand an amount of money, and McCutcheon shouldn't have to go into his own pocket.
Well, I do agree with that.
The
team should pay. I absolutely agree
with that. So where was that take?
Okay, it's here right now. You got to say it. Yeah, the franchise owners should be like, this is a cost of doing business for me. I was willing to pay Andrew McCutcheon $5 million last year, $5 million this year, $5,000 or whatever the hell it is, just to be like a good citizen is fine. Somebody tweeted in, Nate said, Malzi should become Pittsburgh's Zach Hample. Do you guys know who Zach Hample is? He's that jackass that goes to every ballpark and tries to catch every foul ball and home run. That man, here, you want to hear a take? That guy should be banned from every major league ballpark for the rest of his life.
He is annoying. There's no doubt
about
it.
And he's the kind of guy that'll try.
He pushes kids away.
I think he's actually such a psycho, he hasn't even figured out that he could try at least to come up with a fake charity thing that he angle here. He's just a psycho for getting as many balls thrown into the stands or hit into the stands.
And I know he's given balls back to kids and stuff and helped them.
Not that many.
He's just so aggressive about
it. You knock over one kid to try to get a baseball, you're out. Jerry West in every ballpark, you're done.
It was always odd to me, like those couple of summers in college when I worked that prize wheel, the now defunct Pirates prize wheel.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and I got to work that 2015 summer, which was awesome, 14 and 15.
Yep.
But the amount of guys that would run into that stadium the moment that the gates opened for, I guess it would be the season ticket holders, like 2.5 hours before, and they would... go in there for BP. They would then change their shirt to the other, like, to a shirt for a player on the other team.
To try to get them to throw him a baseball.
Yeah, it's like if they're playing the Reds, he would toss on, like, a Joey Votto shirt. If they're playing the Cubs, he would toss on, I don't know, Kyle Schwarber at the time. Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Oh, just disgusting antisocial behavior. Disgusting.
Here's Neil on the fan. Hello, Neil.
Hey, guys. What's going on? How are you?
We're good.
Hey, Neil.
Cool. Hey, so to Malzi's point, and I guess this is kind of ironic, because I ran into McCutcheon back in March down at spring training,
And
I just tried to play it off real cool with like, hey, man, just wanted to wish you the best of luck. Hope you stay healthy this year. Thanks for being a great representation of this city and for this team. Keep doing your thing, you know?
Yep.
So in that way, I don't want you to take it away from him, because if you make it about me or I want your bat, I want this glove, then you're holding them hostage. You can't do that. So play it cool, and because Kutch is like such a family man, you know, you don't want to take away that time from him either. So I think, yeah, if you get a picture and just say, yeah, hey man, congrats, this is a great representation of what you've done for this franchise in this city, keep doing your thing. But yeah, don't be holding them hostage, don't be asking for money or handouts, just be like, here you go, I'm glad I got to be a part of it, and that's how I would be.
You really know what? I just had another horrifying realization, but it does not it is not moving me off
my position.
Are you
thinking like Cook again? Is that what's happening?
No, I feel like what I'm saying is actually like a friendlier version of the way John Steigerwald would handle this. He'd be like, "Why would I want to have a photo op with another grown man?"
Yeah. I do hear I do hear some notes of that.
A hint of Steigy.
A hint.
Not that Steigy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The other one.
So, Andrew.
Catch, I know we talked out there, but manager Don Kelly said that that moment, you know, gave him chills. It was something really cool that he'll cherish forever. So, what did it mean to you to do what you did today?
I'm more excited about the win than that, but, you know, because could have done it and lost, and I would have been like, cool. But to get the win and do it, you know, it definitely helps. You appreciate it a little more, so yeah, it was cool. I haven't thought about it. I don't, you know, it's still fresh. So.
Andrew McCutchen on a milestone moment. He was brought back here. There were some round numbers that he could get hit wise, home run wise. This one was just plugging away and passing Roberto Clemente on the all-time home run list. McCutchen has been more than just a version of Joe Louis shaking people's hands at the casino entrance in Vegas. Like, he's not here as just a relic of the past, like a face that people like. No, he's been one of the Pirates' most productive players, which is a testament to McCutchen's longevity, but also kind of a
commentary on what their lineup looks like.
Yeah, a statement on how they offensively have just not been able to get it done. A 6-3 homestand. 16-15 under Donnie Kelly. It really does beg the question, what would this team's record be if they fired Shelton in the offseason and went with Kelly from day one? Because he is better. He's new on the job. He's never managed before. And he is, I think it's a game speed thing. I think the game was just too fast for Shelton, and he was just a step or two behind on everything. And I think already, like, the preemptive steps that you have to do in managing bullpens and the chess match of when to put a guy in the game, take him out, I already think that Kelly's better than Shelton at that. But that's got to be worth a few more wins.
But that begs this question.
Play harder for him.
Because I don't think, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't think Kelly's made every bullpen move correctly.
I can
think of at least one or two times where he might have cost them. But he was Shelton's bench coach. What was he doing? Was he telling him stuff and Derek was just ignoring him?
Maybe he felt like it wasn't his place.
To me, it's much more the latter. And God, I hate like citing something that's kind of squishy and not measurable here, but they clearly give a crap. Greg Brown and Greg, you know, I think has to be tactful and has to try to get his message or opinion across in a way that is not just going to crucify certain people.
Although he did call himself a truth teller with us yesterday.
Yeah, but I think he pulled his punches a little bit out of respect for just Derek Shelton, the person. I think he was trying to say without saying, Derek Shelton was holding the team back.
Because he was.
The team wasn't, he wasn't getting through to guys. If he was at first the fund manager who wasn't going to like kill people for their mistakes, Donnie Kelly is clearly like done the straddling the line job of, I can be a taskmaster if I have to be, but I want these guys to know I have their backs. So I think that part of it is way more than the game moving too fast for Shelton, although it did. You ask about what would their record be. So they're 28-41 now with today's win. That is still the third worst record in the National League. And they're technically about the same as the Orioles right now.
I think they're 32-37 with Kelly.
I was going to say somewhere between Washington's 30-36, although they've played fewer games, and not quite as good as the Reds, who are 35-33. I would have zeroed out at probably, what would it be? 32-37, you said?
Yep.
I think the highest end I could give them is
33-36.
Is probably one game better than that, yeah. But they would be, at that point, they wouldn't be
a relevant team.
They wouldn't be like in the Central race. They'd still be in the basement. But you wouldn't just look at them and like Cincinnati right now at 35-33.
No, we'd still be six because we'd still be pissed because it's year six of a rebuild.
But they would be like just a team that needs to get kickstarted and going. They wouldn't be a team that was a laughing stock for the majority of the year.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. This segment brought to you by your place to go after Pirates games, Mike's Beer Bar, the fan beer of the month, Altered Genius Brewing's Hero Pale Ale. And the charity of the month is the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, which was a rousing success. Here is John in Evans City. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good.
Hey, Andrew, I got to tell you, I'm also a nightly sports caller. And, man, that show last night, I would have thought that you drafted Pickett for all the hate that you were getting.
Yeah, that did happen last night.
I didn't understand that one. But anyway, I was at the game today. You know, it's funny. I was at Andrew's 2000 hit game, and I was at the game today. But I've also been at so many bad ones, 19-2 losses, 14-1. You get lucky sometimes, but and today I got lucky. But what I was going to ask you and Chris about is I agree with you about Donnie Ball. I love him. I think he's really made a difference. The mistakes have been cutting down. But my question is with Cherington. So let's say they finish 500. Well, let's say that they play 500 the rest of the year, and they get to about the 75 win mark. Do you bring Ben back, or do you fire him? Like, now it gets kind of tricky for me. It's like, what do you do with Cherington?
I mean, do you still – so my first answer, that's a thoughtful call. Did he put together a roster that looked like a contender in year six? No, I would argue. Because at best, we're all agreeing there's still multiple games under 500. Their offense is abhorrent. I brought this up to Greg yesterday. Most of the time, a GM is going to get to pick their manager. It's obvious people here rightfully have positive vibes about Donnie Kelly. I don't think that should save Ben Cherington's job.
I said to you, though, the stroke of brilliance in making that move and getting Kelly fired, or getting Shelton fired and staying, if you're Cherington, is that I think it reset the record for him.
It did. I know it did.
It made it 0-0. So that's why he's asking that question. I don't think 500 would be good enough because it's still, at the end of the year, you're way under 500. But if they play, you know, if they play
five games over 500 for his tenure,
I think they'll keep him. Because it would just, as Nutting said, he did not want to get them off track by firing the GM with the manager. Now, I felt like they were already off track, but that gave you a glimpse of how the owner of the team felt. I think Ben's going to have to really, if they can look at the season afterwards and say, there was a turning point when we made a managerial change, let's blame Derek Shelton. I think they'll take advantage of that. I think they'll use that, especially with, you know, Donnie being a local guy. So I think there is a scenario in which Cherington keeps his job. I do. I don't think he will, though, at the end of the day, because I don't think the Pirates will play quite that well. Here's Dan next. Hello, Dan. Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. Hey, it was nice seeing you guys out the Upper St. Clair Fire Department.
Yeah, man. It was great seeing you too, Dan.
So I would have liked to have talked to, you know, Malzy there, but he was playing basketball.
How'd he look?
So whenever I was there, it wasn't so hot because he was out there playing and then he fell over a piece of fire equipment and then rolled around on the ground for a while.
Is this true?
Yeah, it's true.
Everything's true up to rolled around on the ground for a while. I got up within like a second.
Yeah, he got up. It wasn't a second for sure. But then after that, he kind of like brushed himself off and made a bunch of faces. Like,
well, that's, you know, just like Malzy's resting bitch face.
It just, it looked like it hurt real bad.
Oh.
It didn't
feel good.
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, for him, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But, you know, be that as it may. Wow. He looked like he could play a little bit, though, I have to say.
All right, so we've come back around to saying nice things about Malzy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
What else,
I
Dan?
I can tell.
So if I catch a foul ball in a game,
yeah,
it belongs to me. It's about me at that point. It's all about me.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If I'm not giving it to him out of the goodness of my heart. I got a kid. He loves Andrew McCutchen. I'm going to give him the ball, but I'm going to want something in return. I'm going to want to go down to the locker room and hand it to him and have him give me a signed bat. I,
I think that's a very fair trade.
Wait a minute. I wasn't portraying it like asking for a bat is crazy if somebody does that.
No, you said that was your own personal preference is what you said. And thanks for the call, Dan. Right.
Yeah, I'm not trying to denigrate people who would want a bat for their kids or even a bat for themselves.
No, but you did say you thought it was weird that people would like want a picture so badly. You did make it sound that way.
I do find the trend, because I think not athletes are probably, as you said, it's part of the cost of doing business. But I just guess that deep down, some of them are like, man, another one of these. Okay.
I think that's a great compromise. So the ball means more to McCutchen than it does to you, but you don't want to come out of that empty-handed, so you want something back. And a moment with a revered professional athlete who you like, I think, is a fair trade.
Do you think McCutchen will put the bat that he hit the home run with out of circulation and keep it? Because a bat can always break.
Yeah, I think he's done with it.
Okay, I was going to say...
I don't think he's superstitious like Sidney Crosby with that stuff.
But if he said, I'm going to keep hitting with this bat, you know what then? I would want... If I were like somebody negotiating, yeah, I would say, if you would have otherwise kept hitting with this bat, let me have it signed.
I think he should keep the bat he hit the home run with, Chris.
No, I'm saying if McCutchen said to you, oh, by the way, yeah, I'm going to keep using that bat and hitting it.
Yeah.
Then it would tell me that he's okay with the possibility that it might break or something else.
Oh, like he doesn't have a sentimental value
to him. Yes, and so I'd say, hey, could I have the bat then if you were going to otherwise keep using it? If he said, hey, I'm retiring this bad boy.
I'd like the guy who caught the ball to come on our station. I like the cut of this guy's jib.
I was about to call him out by name and say, call the station, please.
What's his name?
Jim, like, Colasar or something
Jim
like that?
Jim Colasar, where are you? You've been dubbed by Donnie a combination of Starkey and Cook.
What if are the chances there, he's like listening right now?
I think better than zero, north of zero. He's a diehard. He looked like not an elderly. He looked like an older Pirates fan who's retired and is at an afternoon game. I think that's in our demo.
I bet you late 50s, early 60s.
I'm going to say early 50s.
Early 50s? That's not elderly then or retired.
I know, that's why I took elderly back, but maybe he made a fortune and, you know, obviously he didn't hold McCutchen up for money, so he probably is pretty well off. Congratulations on all of Jim Colasar's success. Here's Randy next. Hello, Randy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good.
So... I'm a elderly guy. I was a Pirate fan back with Clemente, and I loved Clemente, and I would have liked to seen him stay number three. But Kutch is one that is definitely, you know, one that is done Pittsburgh very well. Malzy, you said something about Staggy, and why would I want a picture of another man, right? Well, back at a Penguins game, I was walking up the aisleway, and I saw you and Alex sitting at a Penguins game.
Yes.
And I had you take a picture, or Alex take a picture of you and me.
Nice.
Very proud of that picture.
How about that, Malzy? See, yes. You can make somebody's day with a picture like that.
Hold on. To be very clear, I said I don't like the fact that I'm starting to sound like Steige, who I think John Steigerwald, who always spoke in
Randy,
insane...
Randy, we're going to put you on hold because you're going to get the tickets.
...in completely insane extremes. If somebody wants to come up to me, I am happy to take a picture with someone. Happy to. And like, hey, that's great. I'm just telling you how I would personally have done this.
Randy,
see, now I'm being made to feel like I'm a bad guy, and that guy asked me for a picture, so now I feel like a real a-hole.
Good. Oh. Randy is going to win two tickets to see the Pirates play the Mets on Friday, June 27th. Randy, I think I'll be back in town that night. If I'm at the game, I will gladly take a...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Picture with you. 4:30. Now's the time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. It's the Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Saloni's Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Donnie's biggest football story of the day. Don?
The Debrief, June 11, 2025. By the way, Randy wanted to make sure that Malzy did not feel bad about the picture comment. The guy is very thankful that Malzy got
I'm glad
the
he is, and he was. I remember that. He was a super nice guy. I'm always tickled frankly, because I'm like a Q-list celebrity when somebody wants to say, hey, I like the show and all that. McCutcheon gets this all the time. That's
but
all.
But it sounds like you secretly think in your head, man, this guy's a real weirdo that he wants to take a picture.
Oh, my God. I almost swore at you. I almost said something very not radio friendly.
So it did become official yesterday that
thanks for taking the picture, Randy. I appreciate you coming up to me. I do. That was nice of you.
We did get the official word that Aaron Rodgers is in fact married. Mm-hmm. What do we think that wedding was like?
I think very private. I think it might have been him, her,
in witnesses that you have to have, in the person,
a best man. A why, maid or matron of honor?
You don't have to have that. You just have to have witnesses.
No,
man.
I know, but I'm saying I think there might have been like one person next to him who wasn't a brother.
Alan Lazard?
It was actually Randall Cobb. I don't think any of his family was invited.
You think they did the Vegas thing?
No,
think they
I think
the courthouse.
I think it's more likely they got married in like a redwood forest with like they were sitting on tree stumps. Like a very Cheech and Chong vibes thing here. Like they're communing with nature. If it's the woman who identifies, I guess, as like a Wiccan priestess or something like that, a witch.
Yeah.
I would imagine there was we're communing, we're kind of, our energy is flowing through this. I bet you it was very earthy.
So no cookie table afterwards.
Oh, well, man, see, I was at a wedding this weekend with a great cookie table, just elite stuff.
I mean, it's also more so a Western PA thing with the cookie table, expect him to come right in here.
What if
that.
Somebody had snuck into the wedding somehow and found that there was a cookie table and said, it's a sign, he's coming here, he's one of us, he got the cookie table already.
You think he'll get bitched at about being cheap since he did a private little wedding and probably didn't have
business.
Any cake?
That's his business.
People are all over me for that.
Wait. Is that the same guy that calls you that name that you can't say on the air yesterday that you were telling me about during a commercial break?
Oh, no, that was just some random guy.
So wait a minute,
Twitter.
People are mad at you about not having cake at your wedding?
Yeah, because we're just going to do like a little like couple
and
cake.
Then you're doing a cookie table, right?
Yeah. The Folks. Cookie table's probably going to be legendary. We've had like 25 people tell
Donnie,
us to make cookies.
Can I make you cookies for your cookie table? Just Mulzy's classic milk chocolate chip cookies?
If you want.
I'll throw down. Maybe with the Alex
Donnie,
twist,
I am
she
not going to make
ingredient.
Cookies for your wedding, but I will hopefully attend if I'm invited.
Donnie, I'll throw 3 or 4 dozen cookies in as a contribution.
We'll add you to the list.
Do you think DK Metcalf was invited?
No.
I mean, if it's as small as we're talking, then no.
Metcalf did talk today about his relationship with Rodgers.
Besides just being teammates, I think he's a great, great person, you know, off the field. And like I said, I think I can learn a lot from him, you know, in life and about the game of football. When I was chilling with him one time, we were just doing like trivia questions. So we would name a player and I would have to say their college or their nickname while they were playing. So, I mean, it's just a fun person to be around.
I love it.
Stars, they're just like us.
I think that that's great.
So Rodgers goes, all right, how about some Steelers trivia, DK? Barry Foster, and DK goes, Arkansas.
Do you think they could get the correct college of every guy on the team?
No. I don't.
I mean, especially right now, there's like 90 dudes.
Right.
Well, like what we would like project to be, not just
a 53
like
man?
Not just down the liners, but like legitimate Steelers.
Okay, do you think Rodgers can right off the bat rattle off his starting O-line schools?
Can you?
Georgia. Why am I blanking right off the bat on Samoa? I know Georgia, West Virginia, South Dakota State or whatever.
That's McCormick. Mm-hmm.
And then
Washington.
Washington. Why am I blanking on Samalu? Because he didn't. Was he BYU?
No.
Was he like Utah?
No.
Hold on. Boise?
No.
Oh, crap.
Just Oregon State.
Okay. See, I did. As soon
We're
as he
said
that,
we're
in the
right area,
Malzy. All right. Then he goes to like.
Can you guys get all the quarterbacks? Skylar Thompson?
Kansas State.
Yep.
He beat out Will Howard.
How about running backs?
Johnson was Iowa. Oklahoma State
for Jalen Warren. Who do you count as a running back?
Gainwell.
Memphis?
Is he Memphis?
Yep.
You know, they used to be called Memphis State when Penny Hardaway went there.
I did not know that.
How about wide receivers?
Bobby Trees went to USC.
Yep.
Metcalf went to Mississippi.
Wilson was Michigan.
He was Michigan.
Calvin Austin.
Memphis. Who else are we missing here?
I don't know where Skoronek went.
Hold
Notre
on.
Notre Dame.
I would have tried.
No, I wasn't allowed to weigh in on this.
No, because you know all this stuff.
How about Scotty Miller?
Hold on. This is the one I actually want to like grind the tape on here a little bit, Donnie, and try to figure out.
Where did Scotty Miller go to school? Could I stump DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers on that one?
Doesn't it feel like it's a horse crap school, Donnie? Like some place like Bowie State, or something?
I have no idea. There was a former Steeler that went to Bowie State.
It is.
Yeah, who did go to Bowie State?
One of the running backs.
Was it Redmond?
I
think Red Zone Redmond was a Bowie State man. Oh, it's an FBS school for Scotty Miller.
Yep.
Only other question, is it a Power 5 or Power 4? Power 4.
Power 4.
Yes?
It's not. Oh, no, it's like not. It's a group of five.
Group of five?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Scotty Miller went to Tulsa.
Tulane.
Bowling Green.
Him and Harold Fannin Jr. or whatever.
Darnell Washington,
we
know.
Or is that the guy from LSU, Friar the pass rusher?
We know. Fannin went to Bowling Green.
Who am I thinking about?
Connor Hayward, we know, right? You know Connor Hayward,
Don. Yeah, Michigan State.
Yep.
He was huge against Pitt in that bowl game.
How about
Keanu Benton, we know.
How about Parham?
Donald Parham.
Parham.
Well, he's torn up now.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't count.
Was he? He wasn't a Georgia guy, was he?
No, he's a FCS guy.
Oh, God, imagine that guy, the FCS. Are you kidding me?
Spencer Anderson.
Maryland.
Yep. Calvin Anderson.
Is it a trick question, Donnie? We going back to back on Mr. Anderson's?
I think Texas.
I think you're right there. Spencer Anderson was easy because every time they drafted a Maryland player pony, you would freak out and just be like,
who else are we missing on the O-line? Did we get everybody? The other Herbig's gone.
I think we got all.
I think we got all.
Where did Chris Boswell go?
Rice.
Yep.
A school named after a cash crop.
Where did Cam Johnson go?
Ohio State.
Where did Corliss Waitman go?
I don't know.
Corliss Waitman. Did he go to... No. I was going to say UCF for some reason. That ain't it, though.
I think it's South Alabama.
Travis Swaggerty.
Yep.
Anything else that you're...
Let's think about the rest of their depth chart on defense. Mississippi State.
Okay.
Deshaun Elliott.
Ooh.
Did I stump you guys?
Oh, no.
I think I know it.
I mean, he's not an Alabama guy.
No.
No, but there's someone else in their secondary who is.
Minka's in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
PZ Jr., we know. Trice, Purdue. Deshaun Elliott.
I don't know where he went.
There's a listener who's a big fan.
South Carolina.
Nope.
Texas.
Texas.
I like that your first thought was FJIR. Yep. Wait, where?
Brandon Echols.
Michigan?
I'll go Michigan State.
Kentucky.
How about Cole Holcomb?
North Carolina.
Man, I would not have guessed North Carolina in a billion years for him.
Peyton Wilson, NC State.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Harrison.
He was Ohio State.
Yep.
How about Highsmith?
Charlotte. How about Dean Lowry?
Iowa. No. Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Iowa, I guess. That's wrong, though.
Oh, I thought it was.
No.
Where was it?
Northwestern. Logan Lee is Iowa.
Iowa. There we go. Who could possibly get Logan Lee and Dean Lowry mixed up?
Is that everybody? Who are we forgetting?
I mean, we obviously know Cam.
Yep.
Harmon was Oregon.
I was going to say Casey, but he's
gone. See, this game is also, I brought this up to my buddies, this game is going to get more and more difficult.
Because guys
are changing schools so much.
I mean, imagine you throw out like a JT Daniels. What are you gonna name six schools?
JT Daniels just say FBS.
No, it's always the school he was at
the
last.
Final school.
It's always the final stop. Yep.
So Addison's got to be USC.
Yeah.
When you name him.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I wonder how many random players in the NFL I could actually stump.
Donnie, go to their roster and see if we forgot anybody
from last year.
From this year.
It's hard, though, because like Football Reference doesn't really update it the way I would want them to.
So where do we go to get their roster? Their website?
I'm going to give you last year's, and I'll just look at players that are still on it. He's not on it anymore. Can you just give me Van Jefferson from last year?
Why am I blanking on him all of a sudden?
There's two schools involved.
Oh, my God. I'm having like a complete blackout moment here.
Oh, no.
It's like I've tried to erase the guy like the memory in black pen.
Oh, no.
Wait, we missed a couple of guys.
Okay.
That aren't like major players.
Go ahead.
Loudermilk.
Ooh.
He was Wisconsin, I thought. Yeah.
Yes. Leal.
Texas A&M.
Yep.
Let's see. Black, they just drafted. He was Iowa. There were, I feel like there are like one or two backup offensive linemen here we didn't touch on.
Go ahead.
Ryan McCollum.
A&M?
No.
Yes, Malzie.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
That's a great job.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think we got pretty much all the.
Why am I blanking on Van Jefferson? Donnie, do you know this off the top of your head? Where did Van Jefferson play college football?
Two schools, but there's only one that counts. Can't give you any more than that. Oh, man.
Is it SEC?
It is SEC. Both schools.
Oh, Florida.
Where did he start?
Ole Miss?
He did!
Let's go,
Look
Donnie. Look
two.
At us.
Check out the big brains on you guys!
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.